John, thanks for making time for us today. How are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. And I'm out of Chicago, by the way.
There it is.
All right, the Windy City. All right, John, so I was flipping through the Bible, as I call it, right? April 2024, the Arlads NFL Draft Guide. And here's my thing on this. I'm trying to pinpoint the deepest position in the draft this year, John, and is it wide receiver by a long shot, or is there another position that's close to wide receiver as far as depth in this draft goes?
I think you're right on wide receiver. I there's not another position that's that deep. Corners is pretty deep. That's a pretty solid position. I think they've got, you know, five pretty much solid first-round picks. And then there's players you can find throughout the draft there. There's some positions that are weaker than others, you know, and every year is different, and you're always going to find talent, you know, somewhere. There's always redeeming qualities in some of these guys that can fit certain teams better than others, and so that's what they're looking for.
And the receivers, I'm looking at the first-round projections, because in your guys' grading system, 9.0 up to 10.0, those are first-round draft picks, and you have five wide receivers listed that with that type of a grade, just over 9.0. Marvin Harrison, not only do you have him listed as the top wide receiver, you guys have him listed as the second-best player in this draft. Why do you guys believe that? Because I'm in agreement with you.
Well, just in watching him play, you know, right from the get-go, in the early – going into the season, you know, watching what he did as a junior, you know, or the year before, you know, he is an outstanding player. I mean, he's got size, he's got speed, he can catch the ball in traffic. He's a good route runner. I mean, what's not to like about him? And it is a very good year for receivers. There's some solid players. There's some, you know, some guys that people are talking about. But we just happen to like Harrison Jr. because he is the epitome of a playmaker. And that's what you want in your receiver. You want somebody who can go up and get it, and he can make plays. And he does that.
John, we're sitting here smack dab in the middle of Browns country. In fact, we're an affiliate of the Cleveland Browns. And we know what some of the needs will be, and we know what some of the needs won't be. But we also know this. It's like the second or third year in a row that we don't have a number one draft pick or a first-round draft pick due to the fact that they traded them all for the Deshaun Watson deal. So I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, okay, nobody ever wants to talk about running backs. And maybe if there's not a running back, is it a case of the running back position not being valued in the National Football League? We see that they don't get paid, but we also see that there are no running backs pretty much on the board in the first or second round. That tells me that at number 54, maybe I could get a steal there, or are there no good running backs in this year's draft in the first two rounds?
Well, it's not a great year for running backs, in all honesty. There's just not... you know, it's just not a great year. I mean, there's, you know, there's some guys that can play. There's some guys with redeeming qualities. I think Cleveland should be able to find somebody that can play and can help them. You know, I don't think necessarily they need a number one, but maybe. I don't know. It depends on, you know, the injury situation, you know, with some of the guys they've got. You know, Nick Chubb, you know, what's going to happen with him. But, you know, there's some guys, you know, but the best running back in our mind is Jonathan Brooks, and he's coming off an injury. So, and after that, Jalen Wright is a little bit of a, you know, a sleeper that kind of came on. He's got great speed. He does a lot of things really well. And I could see him being a solid second-round pick for somebody.
Happy to have with us John Cooper from the Arlads NFL Scouting Service. And, John, for our listeners out there, and we actually have one of these books. By the way, Brian, we're going to give one of these books away. I forgot to tell you today because they were kind enough to send us a bunch of these. But for people out there that aren't lucky enough to win that book that we're going to give away, John, tell them where they can get more information from Arlads as far as the Internet goes.
Well, the best way to do this is to go on our website, arlads.com, O-U-R-L-A-D-S. And on the top, there's a line across which has, you know, the different things like NFL draft, depth charts. And the very far left, it says buy draft guide. And you can go on there, click on it, and there'll be an order form that you can fill out. You can buy a book. You can buy the review, which comes out in June. Or you can buy a digital copy of either one of those. So that there's four or five things that you can buy in terms of packages. Or what you want, and And if you like a book in your hands, buy the book. If you don't mind looking on the computer at a digital copy, you can get that too.
Yeah, I'm old school. I love the book. So thank you for sending us the books that we're looking at and being able to flip through. It's just an old habit of mine, especially in the office, if you know where that's at, John. So thank you very much for this. I wanted to get to the quarterbacks here before we get to the Browns targeting pick in the second round. And I was not surprised because this is what I love about you guys. There are some, and I won't name any names, okay, John? There are some mock draft guys, some draft analysts who will rank players based on getting help from not scouts, agents of said player. Hey, can you give my guy a boost so he gets rated higher in your mock and that might make me a few extra bucks? You guys don't do that. And the reason I bring that up is you've got Jalen Daniels ranked as your number one overall player when most people have Caleb Williams as the number one overall player. So I'm curious as to why you guys have Daniels ahead of Caleb Williams by three picks.
Well, it goes all the way back to probably about the second week of the season is where we moved him up there. We were doing our preview, and even in our preview, we had him as the number one player. We just happened to like what he brings to the table. You know, we liked him at Arizona State. He got even better when he went to LSU. And, you know, the big difference, he's playing in the SEC. And, you know, no knock on Caleb Williams, but he's playing in the Pac-12, and the defenses in the Pac-12, quite frankly, aren't the same as what you're looking at in the SEC. Played for Chip Kelly, and he can be a little hard on quarterbacks sometimes. Brian Kelly, I'm sorry. But here's a guy that overcame some adversity, and he became a great player. All the quarterback metrics that you look at, he was the top guy this year. So he exceeded our expectations. Even we watch him play, he can drop the ball in a, you know, ball placement is tremendous. He throws that deep ball very accurately. You know, he's got some holes, and all these quarterbacks do. You know, a general manager once told me, you never really know what you got in a quarterback until you get him in your building. And I think that's going to be true of these guys too. But we think Daniels has the best combination of athletic ability and passing accuracy in this draft.
John Cooper is a draft analyst with Our Lads. And, John, I want to keep it right there with the quarterback position because what we're seeing in the NFL and these rookie contracts, and we have to save money, and we understand this. One of the things here, not only are we Browns fans, most of us are Buckeye fans as well, and we look at J.J. McCarthy at that team up north, that's Michigan, by the way, and we wonder, is he overvalued or is he going to be a first-round draft pick because other teams don't want to pay quarterbacks that are coming out of their rookie deal?
Well, and I think that's something that you see with teams when they make their decision. The Justin Fields decision here in the Chicagoland area, I mean, that's in our mind, it's kind of like, or what are we going to do? You know, he hasn't really shown us what we want. Not that he's a bad player, but we're going to have to pay this guy a lot of money if we keep another year after this. So why don't we just reset the clock and we can build a team around another quarterback? And I think you're seeing a lot of that, you know, with the way the whole contract structure is set up. You know, in another era, maybe Justin Fields is your guy and you work with him another year and you bring in another veteran backup, you know, to go along with him. So I think that was the debate, but resetting the table, it saves you money in terms of the salary cap, and that's what I think teams are doing a lot of. And otherwise, you're going to have to put a big contract into a guy. So now if Caleb Williams is their guy, we got 4 years to decide. And other than that, you know, hey, we'll start all over again. That's unfortunate the way it works, but that's the reality.
J.J. McCarthy does have a first-round grade from you guys. I'm not a believer in him because I don't think he had to carry the load, and I don't know if he can if he's called upon to do that. And I go back to the TCU loss where he was horrible, 2 years ago. And last year he didn't make the mistakes. First pass of the game was almost intercepted, overturned by a replay call, right? So I have my concerns about him as a franchise quarterback. Give me your thoughts on J.J. McCarthy and why you guys do believe that he'll go in the first round and deserves that grade.
Well, he's a polarizing guy for sure. I mean, you know, he averaged, 22 passes attempts a game. He didn't have to carry Michigan's offense. We do believe, though, he got a lot better. We did not have him as a first-round pick going into the season. We saw him play this year, and, you know, one of our guys that looks at quarterbacks really likes him. You know, we've talked to some quarterback coaches, some quarterback teachers, and ask them their opinions just to kind of give us a cross check. And basically, the word out is, yeah, there's some holes. One is he doesn't layer the ball real well. And so that's he throws on one plane more often than not, and he's going to have to work on some of that. But his accuracy was excellent. When he had to make the plays with his feet, he could do it, and he just got better and better and better. And, you know, he did not do anything to hurt Michigan. And obviously, they kept the offense a little bit limited. I mean, you're running the football at Michigan. You know, it's 3 yards in a cloud of field turf. And and he didn't have to do a lot of things there. And but what he had to, when he had to make a play with his feet, you know, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And so that's part of the reason, you know, we're a little bit intrigued by him. He's kind of an intriguing prospect in a lot of ways. And I think a lot of people are looking at his mechanics and the things they've seen him do, the things they've seen him improve. You know, they see a very good football player. And so we think he would be overvalued to go in the top 10, but quarterbacks are overvalued. And so I think there's a chance he does go in the top 10. And there's a chance there's some people like him better than Drake May that we've talked to. You know, we still have May ahead, but we think there's a little bit of a, you know, a drop-off, you know, after Williams, you know, in terms of how we would rank him. If you look at our ranking a little bit, I think we've got May 9 as our 9th and McCarthy as our 12th, and Williams is our 4th. But again, quarterbacks are always valued higher. We evaluate them a little higher, too, but not as high as we think they might go, which is 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's a problem too, man. When you don't have a franchise quarterback, you're usually picking high in the draft. And that's one of the reasons why the Browns had to select Tim Couch, Brady Quinn, Brandon Whedon, Johnny Manziel, and Baker Mayfield, all first-round picks, Kenny, because they still never truly had that one elite franchise quarterback.
Yeah, and they went out and traded for one, and they're hoping they have that franchise quarterback. And we still don't know, depending on his health for this year, and Deshaun Watson. John Cooper, our guest, NFL scouting service analyst for Our Lads. We appreciate him spending some time with us. All right, let's go to the Browns in the second round, John, if you don't mind, because they don't have a pick on day one next Thursday on the 25th. So they'll be picking 54th overall. When you look at the great thing about your Bible here, is not only do you list every guy that's available in the draft, you also give a depth chart of every NFL team so you can look at who they signed in free agency, updated depth charts, so it gives you a better idea of what they need. So based on what you see with the Browns and their needs and picking in the second round at 54, John, what do you think the Browns might be targeting there?
Well, in our mind, we think, you know, it's a good year for corners. And we have a feeling that corners is an area of need for them. I'm not sure they're, you know, they signed Hardy from the Jets. I'm not sure they're enamored with, you know, who they have other than Ward maybe. And, you know, they picked up Greg Newsome. He's going to play nickel from what we understand. But I think they need a corner, you know, and I think, you know, some safety depth wouldn't hurt either. So I think that's an area. Also on the other side, you know, somebody – you know, I know they have Za'Darius Smith, you know, to play alongside Garrett, but he's getting long in the tooth. So we think, you know, there's a lot of depth in the edge rushers. So we think that's an area that that they're probably going to look at, along with running back. You know, as you know, we talked a little bit earlier, they think they have to address that area. So those are three areas that I think they could look at. You know, and we always feel like teams should select the best player available in a position of need. And, you know, unless you're great, don't double up on, you know, players that you don't need, but make sure they fit in that pod of players that should go there. Otherwise, you know, try to trade down or something to that effect. But we think that's where the Browns, in our mind, you know, would look to go.
Do you think the trade for Jerry Jeudy pushed back the need for a wide receiver that high?
Yes. Yeah. To be simple, I think they're, you know, they're probably going to look at receiver. There's so many of them this draft. They're probably going to take one. But I think getting Jerry Jeudy, you know, makes that. And I think maybe that was one of the things they had in mind, because they know there's receivers they can pick up to help their depth situation down the line. But some of these other positions are maybe bigger. Bigger areas of need that we have to take a look at.
What about offensive line? How deep is it? I mean, could we get into the second and third round with maybe, I don't want to say a starting left tackle, but let's face it. The way these guys get injured, I think I would go – I would be like they approach the Guardians anyway. The way they approach every Major League Baseball draft is we go pitcher, 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 roll the dice, one of them's going to hit. Can we do the same with offensive linemen, please?
Yeah, that's not a bad thought. The only thing we kind of think, though, is that the offensive linemen, there's a lot of guys that are potentially 8 first-round tackles.
Wow.
I mean, it's a really good year for tackles. We did a couple of mock drafts. We put one on YouTube where we kind of went, this is how we think it might go rather than what we would do. You know, one of those. Mm-hmm. We decided to do one like that just for fun. And I think we had 8 tackles going in the first round, at least in our original mock. And then we had 8 again. And there's some guys down the line. There's a drop-off, however, after about the first maybe 10 guys. So the depth isn't as great as maybe, you know, it appears to be, you know, because a lot of players could go fairly early because everybody wants to get one of those guys. And so, you know, we only have, I think, guys with second-round, bona fide second-round grades, only 2, but we got a lot with first-round grades. And then after that, there's a bit of a drop-off.
So what we need to look for are teams that really don't need offensive line help, which I can't see there be that many of them. But hopefully, the ones that don't have a first-round pick, you move up, arguably, a spot if you're at number 54, correct? I mean, could there be one of these first-round draft picks that maybe slipped to 54?
Well, possibly, you know, the kid from BYU, maybe.
Okay.
But, you know, I think some of these guys are awfully good. You know, Guyton, Mims, you know, Fuagua, you know, who are the lower level of the first round guys. I think those guys are going to be gone. You know, Patrick Paul is a solid player that he could be there from Houston. That's one. You know, if the Browns, you know, are going to go in that direction, if that's, you know, what they're looking at. But if they feel that there's not anything down the line, they need to get a tackle, and that's probably where they should go.
John, when we look at the NFL and how important the draft is, right, especially for teams that stink because they're trying to rebuild through the draft and save money financially, okay? The Browns right now, when you look at them as compared to the other teams in their division, do you think they're close? And they're drafting for depth because pretty much all the starting spots are taken care of, especially if Deshaun Watson is back healthy. So is this a depth draft more than anything else for the Browns?
I think you're right. I mean, I follow the AFC North quite a bit, and it's a tough division. And all those teams are good. Anybody can beat anybody else on any given Sunday, just like the old movie. You know, there's no question that the Browns are a solid football team. They have a lot of things going for them. We got receivers. You know, I think one of the keys is what's going to happen at the quarterback position. You know, they picked up, you know, some depth. You know, I think Huntley's a good player. Winston, and these, so they're going to be, I think, better prepared if Watson's not ready. You know, I've watched Huntley a lot. He's not bad. He's not a bad player. You know, he almost took the Ravens to the promised land 2 years ago. You know, if he wouldn't have made that one mistake on that, you know, reaching over with the ball prematurely,
right.
You know, they probably beat the Bengals in that playoff game. You know, and you just never know what could happen after that. So I think the Browns have really positioned themselves well, even if Watson can't go. I mean, I think they're, like I said, I think they're better equipped, but they still have some needs. They have to, you know, I think that secondary, I'd like to see them, you know, pick up a player there, a corner. That to me is a need, you know, and the edge, another guy on the other side, you know, you got to have depth at the edge mm-hmm. rusher position because those guys are so important. I mean, you got maybe the best in the league, you know, on the one side, but then after that, I don't know, you know, you just have to, that's something that I think they have to look at.
All right, John, I always used to do this with Jim Sabo back in the day, Dan Shonka as well. I always used to end our conversations with, give me a sleeper in this draft, not necessarily going to the Browns, but somebody maybe people don't know a lot of right now that you guys are high on that we should keep an eye on, not only where he gets drafted, but then when he plays in the NFL.
Well, you know, there's a number of guys I could talk about. You know, I got some down the line, way down the line guys. There's one name that keeps jumping up at me, and that's Sione Vaki. He's a safety from from Utah, and this is a kid that plays both running back and safety. I don't know if you're, you know, you're familiar with him, but he's a fascinating player. You know, he was on a mission trip, so he didn't, he didn't show up at Utah for 2 years, and then all of a sudden the light went on. The last 2 years, he became a really good safety. You know, there's some people that grade him down for different things. His wingspan's not the best. He's 5'11". But he got a chance to play running back towards the end of the season, and he was really good. Caught the ball out of the backfield and did a lot of things. And we may like him better than a lot of people do. And so he may not go as high as we think. But that's my number one, you know, sleeper. But there's other guys too. There's some defensive linemen that, you know, a lot of people might not be talking about that are upside plays. There's a kid named Uku who played at Kentucky that he's just the opposite. He got an unbelievable wingspan. And he does a lot of things well. He plays, the run. He can rush the passer. He didn't have the numbers that you would necessarily want for his traits, but the traits are so good, we think that somebody's going to take him late, and he might be a really solid player, you know, for somebody before it's over. There's a couple other guys I could mention. Jalex Hunt from Houston Christian. You know, we've got a fifth round grade on him. He's raw. He was a safety at Cornell, and then he transferred to Houston Christian. The first time he ever played on the edge was at Houston Christian. 6'3", 252, he can run, he can chase. He doesn't play the run very well. In fact, he's not very good at it right now, but he can rush the passer, and he can drop off in coverage. So the 3-4 teams, I think somebody's going to take a look at him, and he's going to be pretty good. You know, and last year we had a guy like that wasn't even drafted. His name was he played at Minnesota. Ivan Pace Jr., which you might be familiar with because he played in the MAC Conference at Toledo, I believe, or Miami, one of those. He played in the MAC school, but anyway, transferred to Cincinnati. He was all MAC. He was MAC Player of the Year in defense, and he was the Player of the Year at Cincinnati in the AAC, and nobody drafted him. And he was one of the best rookie linebackers in the NFL last year for Minnesota. So you just never know. Players are where you find them.
Outstanding stuff, John. We always appreciate the time you make for us. Again, give the website where people can go if they want to get a copy of what I call the draft Bible from Our Lads.
Yeah, it's ourlads.com. You know, in the very top, you know, you're going to find a list of things like draft depth charts, NCAA depth charts, NFL depth charts. And the very far right, the very top, it says buy draft guide. Click on that, and it will link to an order form. And it will give you some options as to what you can get, whether you want a digital copy or a book in your hands, which we prefer.
Absolutely. Hey, John, we really appreciate the time. Keep up the fantastic work there at Our Lads. Pass along our thanks and gratitude to everybody there. And we look forward to talking with you down the road.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.